Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bernola and Eric. Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes, where we will recap the following week in sports. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And man, what a weekend we have. We're gonna be introducing a new segment tonight. We have a bunch of NBA talk and a punch heard around the world. So, I guess, how's your week been, and anything you want to talk about specifically tonight?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll just kind of get into it as we go along, but no, yeah, I had a pretty good week. It's been kind of a crazy week, in sports. A lot of unexpected events, for better or for worse, we're going to go over in detail.
Yeah, and one of the biggest surprising things is it's day three and we're still talking about a baseball game. So, well, not so much the game, but still talking about baseball. So that's got to be big, and I know we'll talk about that a little later. So I guess we should start tonight off with our hot picks from last week. Go through these pretty quickly here. Game we had here was that was not it. I guess Heat and Raptors. We had game five. Is that right? That's not right. Is it? It is right.
It was
right,
six.
Sorry.
I think.
Was it? No, I think it was game five, 2-2. That's what I had written down from last week. Either way, we both picked Raptors. Raptors wound up getting it. And now they get the unfortunate task of taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who you just told me were up 31 with about 5 minutes left. So things not going too well there. Kind of expected that Cavaliers have a real good chance of going into the finals at undefeated at 12-0. What did you see from this game six and I guess the rest of the series against the Heat and do you think the Heat would have had a better shot at facing the Cavs, or do you think it was just it didn't matter?
I mean, lucky for the Raptors, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan finally had both of them had big games in Game 7 there to kind of it really wasn't even close. I think it was 116-89 final score of game seven. It wasn't close at all. When Toronto finally plays to their potential, yeah, they can be a pretty good team and definitely better than Miami. Without of course both teams had injuries, but yeah, Toronto's ceiling is definitely higher than Miami as they were constructed at least for those last few games, but. No, Miami, if Toronto is going to continue to play like that up to their potential, which it doesn't seem like they did tonight. I mean, Cleveland's a good team, but yeah, if you're down 31, clearly things have kind of regressed back to what they had gotten used to or what we had gotten used to, from Toronto in these playoffs, just not good enough, I still stand by Cleveland probably sweeps this series.
Yeah, I came into it. I thought Cleveland would win in five games with a good chance of sweeping. I'm still going to go with five. I think Toronto will get one. I think there'll be a game where Kyle Lowry gets 30 to 35 points. and takes apart Kyrie on the defensive end. He did it all during the regular season against the Cavs. It's a whole new Cavs team now. Of course, they're playing at probably one of the best teams in the league remaining, and they look to be on a mission to rematch with Golden State here. Things aren't looking too good there, so we'll have to talk about that as well. The other NBA game we picked was Game 6, Spurs Thunder. Thunder went up 3-2. We both went with the Thunder. Thunder won it pretty easily. Actually went up by as many as 29 in that game and really put the Spurs away in the second quarter. They made a nice little run in the fourth, like you kind of thought they would. That's not a team that's exactly going to just let you beat them. The Thunder, as well as the Cavs, are playing some of the best basketball right now, and they are really have found their groove. And I know we talked about it from the beginning of the playoffs, but Westbrook and Durant have really taken on this heel role, and they don't care. They won their last three road games, two in San Antonio, one in Golden State now, and they're not celebrating. They know they have seven more wins. That's their ultimate goal, and it looks like they're on a mission here. The question is if they're going to have enough talent to put Golden State fully away, but they were able to do it to the 67-win Spurs, which was a huge surprise.
No, yeah. Like you said, they kind of got to it early. Yeah. No, yeah, like you're saying, they got to early. I have 31 points combined from Kevin Durant and Westbrook in the first half of that Game 6. And guys like Steven Adams continue to dominate on the glass. And when the Thunder are out-rebounding you and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are making shots, you really, really don't have a chance. It's just awesome how they've come together in these playoffs. They obviously kind of had a crazy season, got to a slow start with some injuries and kind of had some tragedies go on later there in the year that probably didn't have everybody focused. They definitely came together and are playing to their full potential. And that's easily one of the top three teams in the league.
That's really scary to think about. This team, of course, wasn't clicking. You mentioned the tragedies that they had. They actually lost 8-12 in that span. They were playing some of their best basketball before the All-Star break. Then those three things happened. One of the Thunder front office people passed away. Monty Williams' wife, of course, died in the car wreck, and Dion Waiters' brother was murdered. And kind of all just hit them at once. They never used them as an excuse, but they really seemed to come together. And one of those eight games that they lost there was to the Warriors, the shot that Steph Curry hit from near half court at overtime. Another one was a 17-point fourth quarter collapse against the Clippers. So definitely not a good time of their season, but they're rolling now. And a lot of credit goes to Billy Donovan, a guy who has been laughed at and made fun of pretty much all season for his lack of coaching. From many people's view, they didn't think that he really improved anything from Scott Brooks, but he's proven otherwise in getting this team to play really hard. Steven Adams and Enes Kanter on defense has been a huge surprise. He's not playing great defense by no means, but he's trying, and he's at least forcing some bad shots. Golden State really attacked that, but the Thunder didn't waver at all, and they stuck with their big lineup. And I know we'll talk about that game a little more here, but just the way they were able to put away the Spurs had to give them a ton of confidence. They knew coming in that they could do it, and they did it. And they're now seven wins away from their ultimate goal. And I look for this train to maybe keep rolling. So we'll have to talk about that a little more after we finish up these hot picks here.
Yeah, no, definitely. Really everything else I've got is going to keep spilling over into Thunder Warriors. So, but yeah, no, I guess the only thing left I'd have to say on the Spurs is that obviously it might be the end of Tim Duncan's career. Definitely has an argument for a top 10, maybe depending on your argument, top 5 player of all time. And that's, you know, kind of salute kind of thing deal, I guess, if he decides to call it a career.
Yeah, definitely. Probably the best power forward to ever play the game, and we were privileged enough to be able to watch that great career. I know I had a lot of times over the years where I couldn't stand the guy, but what a career he put together, and he is definitely a guy to look up to for any player coming into the league.
Yep, the big fundamental.
All right, so
yeah.
These last few games we did a hockey game. We did game 7, Blues at Stars. We both picked the Stars. We didn't trust the Blues. The Blues actually won 6-1, and they're now playing in the Western Conference Finals against the San Jose Sharks, who tied that series at 1 game apiece tonight. So the Blues end up winning that, and that's all I really had to say about that.
Yeah, no, good luck to the Blues.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Then I guess we gotta kind of talk about this last game for a while because of the significance. We had Nationals and Tigers, and it turned out to be a historic night. Max Scherzer ended up with 20 strikeouts, which of course ties the record for number of strikeouts in a 9-inning game. Actually had a chance to break the record, but ended up with a ground out to end the game, get his complete game. Didn't have any walks, which is also impressive. Threw 96 strikes on 119 pitches. Also just amazing. You don't see that, especially with guys getting a lot of strikeouts. Usually it's guys getting a lot of pitches chased and just throwing a lot of pitches to try and get those strikeouts. So definitely a crazy game in MIZ.
Yeah, actually came in that game. I picked Nationals 3-1. They ended up winning 3-2. You went with the Tigers, but neither one of us could have predicted what Max Scherzer was going to do. 20 strikeouts, just remarkable, and I think a lot of that credit goes to Dusty Baker, who, of course, has the old-school thought of you can let your pitcher throw over 100 pitches and they'll be fine. And it really worked out. We got to see a historic night because of it.
Yeah, he's you get that added, bonus to the story of it being against the Tigers.
To Scherzer, former Tiger, and his opposing pitcher, Jordan Zimmermann, former National. So,
right. I think I know where you're going with that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dusty Baker was the Cubs manager at the time of Kerry Woods.
That's what
maybe
I thought.
We're
Kerry
wrong,
Woods,
but I think that's
Kerry
right.
Woods, Kerry Woods' rookie year as well. So, that was remarkable. This was remarkable. And, what a game for Max Scherzer, who kind of had a slower start. His ERA is not exactly where he wants it to be, but I think that this start will definitely put him in the right direction of lowering that ERA.
No, yeah. I mean, he's even – with the Tigers, he was becoming one of the best pitchers in the game. I mean, he's already got just playing for the Nationals. He has the 2 no hitters. What was that? That almost he came one batter away from a perfect game, and then
when he hit the fire.
Right. Oh, that's right. And then of course this game. So yeah, no, he's definitely creating his own legacy, and that's it's really quite impressive.
Yeah, remember, Tigers chose Justin Verlander over him, so who I think has about a 70 ERA right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, they are paying him a lot of money.
Yes, they are, but not paying nearly as much as the Angels are going to pay Albert Pujols, who will make $30 million in 2021 and is hitting under 200 right now. So,
wow, okay. Sorry, I gotta top you here real quick. Slightly unrelated, but totally is. Apparently, Notre Dame's tax returns were released from 2014, and Charlie Weiss made more money in 2014 from Notre Dame than anybody else in the athletic department.
Yeah, I saw that. Don't know where how this ended up happening, but Charlie Weiss still making big bucks, and I'm not even sure where he is right now. So
For me, it just always goes back to how much money and how many jobs have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick created for other people over the last decade and a half.
Yeah, now it's becoming Nick Saban in the college game. So, not exactly, they haven't exactly produced any great coaches yet, but definitely getting some guys some jobs out there.
Hey, yeah. I mean, as long as the kids are being fed, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, finish these up here. We had upset picks. I said the Marlins would take 3 or 4 from the Nats. Of course, they split it 2-2, so I got my upset wrong. And you picked the Padres over the Cubs Wednesday, and the Padres won 7-4.
And then they won again 1-0. It was actually a doubleheader. I did not realize. I guess there was a rain out. But, yeah, so they won both games.
Yes, they did.
Which is even more impressive because the Cubs.
Yeah, I think it was two of their three straight losses that they had for the first time this year, if I remember correctly. But anyway, doesn't matter. I went 3-2 last week. We both did. I didn't get my say. You got yours, so you still have a 4-game lead on me, and we're both 6-7 on our upsets. So,
okay. Well, this is episode 40. So, do we reset
it's
now?
Over. Yep, we
all
reset.
Right.
So you end up 40-34. I ended up 36-38. So still not over 500 for myself.
Hey, you were super close.
Yeah, close.
We got. You're gonna get another 20 episodes to get that right.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see if that'll work out for me.
So, all right. Well, all right. I guess if that's our picks, we should probably move on to things happening in the now.
All right, let's do it. You want to talk a little NBA playoffs here?
I think we got to.
All right. So. Of course, last night I was on the edge of my seat. Great game, pretty much game we expected in this series. The old saying goes, series never truly begins until the road team wins at home. They did that in game number one, so we got ourselves a series right off the bat. Thunder really played well, and neither team really played well. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook both shot 33% from the floor. The Warriors in the first half looked like they were going to just come out, have one of those games where they're hitting everything. There's not much you can do about it, but it was the tale of two halves, and the Thunder took over, namely Westbrook in the third quarter, and came into the fourth only down 3, and Durantly, first possession, hit a 3, and had the game at 88, and it was Thunder's game from there. One of the biggest things talked about today was the non-call on Russell Westbrook at the end on the travel. I personally didn't have a big deal with it just because it happens all the time. You can't pick when you want to make calls, and it didn't get called. If it would have got called, I wouldn't have had a problem with it that way either. But the rest, that's definitely not why the Warriors lost the game. I think that just got to move on from here, and the players are going to do that. It's 1-0 Oklahoma City with Golden State has to win this game too.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. I actually wrote down tale of two halves. I mean, I think both teams played well at times. You saw flashes of what the series is, a lot of what we're going to see later on in the series. You saw, you know, Steph making some crazy shots, whether it be that kind of pull-up off-balance 3 from the wing or the one shooting from the logo like he just seems to do regularly now. And then, yeah, like you saw not a whole lot from Russell Westbrook in the first half, but the Thunder hung around, and then all of a sudden he went off for 19 in the third, and they're back in it all of a sudden with, yeah, Durant, some clutch Durant shots. But no, yeah, the other things that are interesting, Durant played pretty much the entire second half. Thought maybe he was getting a little worn down. He missed, I think it was 7 straight shots at one point before knocking down that big one to kind of make it a 5-point game with, I think it was something like 30 seconds left. So, but he seemed to be all right there when they needed it most. But no, they also continued their rebounding, just using, like you were talking about earlier with Billy Donovan, using that bigger lineup, just conceding the fact that Golden State's going to play that small ball, and there's really nothing you can do about that but try and limit their second chances and play good defense. And yeah, both teams kind of went cold there towards the end, but I think you're definitely going to see more excitement, more made shots at the end of these later games.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I actually wrote an article leading up to this game, and one of my key points was that the Thunder can't get scared of the lineup of death that Golden State likes to call it, where Draymond Green plays the five. The Thunder's biggest strength is their ability to be big and out strength everyone. They did that in this game. I think that they kind of wore the Warriors down a little bit towards the end, and not allowing the Warriors to have second chance opportunities is huge in this series, and also being able to give Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook second chance shots is going to be huge in this series. I think that that's why the Thunder need to stick with this lineup. Sure, they're going to give up an open three or two here and there. Being able to keep the ball out of their hands for multiple possessions is going to be huge, and eliminating them to one shot. It was also, I think it's a big confidence booster that KD and Westbrook shot 33% from the field. They turned the ball over 8 times in the first half, only 2 in the second half, still won this game. They didn't really shoot the ball well, but in every other facet, they played really well. Steven Adams was huge, 16-12, was plus 19 on the game, which was the best of any player in the game. Enes Kanter actually ended up plus 2 in the game after being minus 8 in the first half. He was actually plugged in there in the second half, got a couple big rebounds, a couple big easy baskets, and that's what they need from Kanter. There was also one of the biggest things I think that the series can come down to is Russell Westbrook does not care what Steph Curry has. He wants what Steph Curry has, and he's going to try and take it in this series. He's not scared of Steph, and he's going to challenge him. He was up in Steph's in his pocket all game. Same with Dion Waiters, who just has been playing really well in the playoffs. And yeah, I think that's going to be one of the biggest things is Westbrook. Westbrook wants to come out and prove that he's the best point guard in the league, and who better to do it against than Steph Curry, who we've heard about all year. I think that's one of the biggest advantages to the Thunder is their confidence and the ability to be led by the fiery Russell Westbrook, who has been just playing magnificent as of late. And it really looks like him and Durant are on a mission right now, and I'm not sure if anyone can stop them. When two of the best NBA players have this chip on their shoulder like they kind of have right now, I know the Warriors always have a chip on their shoulder, but KD and Westbrook have heard all year how it was going to be Spurs-Warriors, Western Conference Finals, and I think they're kind of tired of it.
No, yeah, obviously KD and Russ are gonna have to lead the way. I mean, they are the best players, but no, yeah, you're getting a lot of quality minutes and a lot of quality just play out of these other guys, and a lot of young guys too. I mean, Steven Adams, like you said, has been just awesome. If they can keep getting 15 and 10 out of him, like they have been these last few games. I mean, that's going to be just do worlds for everybody else. Just going to make things so much easier.
Yeah, most definitely. And I said it a little bit, but Dion Waiters, who shot 40% from the field this year, 36 from three, is actually shooting 46% from the field and 41% from three in the playoffs. He has actually played some point guard, and he's really stepped up his game. He's playing some really good defense. On those last two possessions where Steph Curry had to force him up, that was Dion Waiters right in his pocket, where Steph Curry couldn't get a clean look off. And I think that's very telling on where the mentality of the Thunder are right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely going to be a fun series if the level of play continues, the level of competition stays as it is. These are definitely the two best teams, and I'm glad it's gone down the way it has so far.
Yeah, I think one of the telling plays from that game, just the amount of the level of basketball that we're going to see was there in, I think it was the third quarter, Draymond Green had a huge block on Steven Adams. Warriors rushed down the court. Klay Thompson looked like he had an open dunk. Serge Ibaka actually pinned it against the backboard. Thunder came back down, ended up getting a basket, and it was just one of those series of plays where it was just had you almost on your feet. I think that's more of the series that we're going to see, just some high-level basketball from both teams.
All right, well, that's just about all I got for that so far. Got any lottery thoughts other than how it's obviously fixed?
I don't think it's fixed, but...
I'm sorry, how is it not?
So they had the top two picks.
No, see, that's the thing, though. This year, it's you gotta not make it so obvious. The Lakers still got number two, though. That's the thing. Not so much the Celtics.
Well,
Celtics and whatever. We're not. This is about rebuilding the Lakers. And giving the Lakers number one, oh, no, that's too obvious. We're going to give it to the Sixers so they can screw it up. And then
well, the Lakers have
the Lakers can take the better player.
Pick.
What?
The Lakers had the best opportunity to get that second pick, though.
What do you mean?
They had the second worst record. They had the second best opportunity to get the top pick. They had the second most ping pong ball or second least amount of ping pong balls in there.
Right, but it's still supposed to be this random draw.
Ping pong balls, 13th has second most, and it goes on down like that. I mean, I didn't really
see it.
If the Lakers were fourth and they ended up with the top three pick, then maybe we had something to talk about. But I don't really see it.
I don't know.
No, but I definitely kind of glad for the Sixers to finally get that top pick. They've, of course, been very bad for a few years now and still hadn't gotten that top pick. They finally got it this year, so we'll see if they make the right choice.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think it's just as easy as Ben Simmons and Dunn, or?
I think that's who they're going to take, but I kind of am leaning towards Brandon Ingram as being the better player. I just don't trust the shooting ability or lack thereof from Ben Simmons.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You never really know. I mean, he was obviously very productive at LSU, but didn't exactly do too much in the terms of team success. But you know, that's not always a predictor or one of those things or the other. So you never know. I personally don't have a preference.
Yeah,
in the NBA, you gotta take the guy with the most upside.
Yeah, I think this is kind of we're trying to hype up this draft, but I'm not exactly sure if this draft is one of the best drafts that we've seen. I don't know if there is exactly a franchise-changing player in this draft, but only time will tell.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, got any other NBA things you want to go over?
No. Cavs went 9-0. Probably going to be the first team in the finals.
Yeah, I believe it. Completely on board.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to get to the fight that happened on Sunday. The baseball game.
Before we get to that, I want to wish Chris Bosh a speedy recovery. Came down earlier this week that his career might have to end because of the blood clots. And as much as I'd hate to see that, I just want to see him get healthy and be able to live a long life. So, hope Chris Bosh is able to come back and is just healthy and able to do what he wants.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be sad to see him stop playing, but it would of course be more sad for him to lose his health. So definitely hope he gets better and gets things worked out.
Yeah, most definitely. So, all right. Well, let's go from that moment to the moment you were just talking about here.
All right. So, obviously, Rangers and Blue Jays have history. Played each other in the ALDS last year. Went 5 games. And you, of course, had that crazy inning with that weird play of batter interference that wasn't called and a run scoring. And then, of course, it ends with Jose Bautista's bat flip heard around the world, if you will. So you figured the Rangers were probably going to plunk him at some point, right? Well, they kind of waited until the last opportunity to do it. It was Bautista's last at-bat in the last game of the last series that they will be playing each other this year. And, of course, put him on first base. A couple batters later, ball gets hit to third. Bautista with a late slide. Hard to call it anything else than late. Of course, that's upsets Rougned Odor, who pushes and then clocks Jose Bautista in the face. And all the gifs and memes and just amazing. I thought it was awesome. What did you think?
Well, it was definitely awesome for baseball. Not awesome for Jose Bautista. He took a nice shot. Odor, of course, wasn't happy about the slide. Bautista came up, actually clenched his fist, and Odor beat him to the punch. Literally, he most of the time when we see situations like that, it's all talk and they just get separated and that's all we see. But Odor, Bautista, I guess, didn't do his homework and messed with the wrong guy out there on the field because Odor let him have it. And one of the better parts of that was Odor kept coming forward and basically asked him, we want another one. He'll give him another one if he wants. And Odor never backed away. And not a moment you see very often in baseball. Probably one of the cleanest punches I've ever seen land in a sports fight, besides Jermaine O'Neal, the Malice of the Palace. It was definitely not expected. And I also mentioned that they waited till the last at-bat by Jose Bautista. I think maybe they did that because they had to wait so long, they were going to make the Blue Jays wait even longer for their retaliation. So I think that kind of had a little bit to do with
that. That's fair, but it all the logic in that, I guess, is sound, but it's very dark logic. Like, why not just get it over with? But, I guess they wanted to make a statement. Obviously Odor not afraid to fight. People wanted to call it a cheap shot. I can't say that, but Bautista was squared up. He was ready to get at least get in his face. And if you're going to get in somebody's face, you should be ready to get hit in the face, especially after getting pushed back like that. But yeah, no, he was not ready at all. And before he knew it, he was had been scooped up by Adrian Beltre and was being carried away from everybody else. But no, yeah, Odor was ready to give it to more people. Josh Donaldson and Kevin Pillar came out. He swung at them. I mean, it just – and, of course, things got crazier later when the Blue Jays retaliated with their own beanball. So, yeah, all in all,
yeah,
you end up with an eight-game suspension for Odor, and I think Bautista got one. So, that's
yeah,
those are really the
– John Gibbons got three.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, I really, yeah, it makes sense. I don't know about eight. Eight seems a little rough, but it's probably just because of the reaction and the attention that it got. That
yeah, I definitely don't
caused
think
that overreaction.
That was a cheap shot at all. I mean, Bautista was right there. He clinched. He squared up. Odor just let him have it. Sure, he probably wasn't expecting someone to actually swing at him, but Odor did. And if you're going to come at someone like that, you got to be ready for someone to swing at you, no matter where you are. And Odor let him have it. And I know a lot of people are giving him grief about the kind of glove slap at the end. I don't really think that that's what he was trying. I mean, if you know anything about fighting, you hit him with that right and you clean up with the left. I think that's what he wanted to do, but he still had the glove on his hand. So that's how that goes.
Yeah, there's just two things that really stand out to me in just watching it over and over in slow motion. And that's how, after he makes contact with his face, how Bautista's helmet spins one way and Odor's chain around his neck is spinning the other way. That looks really crazy. And then of course the guy in the background of the stands, like standing up to cheer. It's just,
yeah.
Oh, it's just amazing. I love it. The whole thing is just fantastic, in my opinion.
Yeah, when I sent you that tweet, was that the first time you had seen it?
Yes, yes. And it was amazing.
Yeah, I was talking to someone on Twitter, and they said, oh my God, Odor just landed the cleanest punch on Bautista. And I was basically like, what? And he sent me that video, and I was like, oh, my God. And, yeah, that's – yeah, now we're still talking about it 3 days later. So doesn't happen very often in baseball anymore.
No. And Bautista may have tried to kind of save face with his little comment afterwards about it takes a bigger man to knock me down. But, no, you're – sorry. You already lost. Take your L and go home.
Yeah, definitely some post-game reaction that it was a little different. He also said that if he wanted to hurt Odor, he could have really hurt him, and I believe that. It was a late slide, but he put his legs down. He didn't try to cut Odor, but it was still in Odor's mind. He was still going after him, and I know Odor's done the same thing, but yeah, the bad blood. I don't think the slide has much to do with it. It's just the bad blood and everything boiling over.
Yeah. No, I mean, whether he admitted or not, yeah, that getting beaned probably didn't sit right with him. And they all pretty much said as much with, why'd they wait so long to do it, that they should have just gotten over with. I mean, that's probably he's probably got that in the back of his mind. And so, yeah, and then he thinks, oh, I'm going to take the slide a little late and, you know, but he's not expecting what happened. Oh, man. He wasn't ready.
Yeah. No, he was not. But I'm a little low on time here. So I guess we'll kind of get into our new segment here where we're going to just pick up some tweets that are just horribly wrong. I would call it ridiculously hot tweets. And whether they're old or new, we're going to share those. So, What hot tweet do you have this week?
Okay, give me one second because I gotta read it. it's not exactly a tweet, as it is some sort of probably a Facebook post that was I was shown on a tweet, but here we go. It is actually about Odor Bautista. So I'm going to try and make this quick. It's kind of long. An illegal slide might be dangerous, but nonetheless, it is a game infraction. A player might be suspended for such an infraction, but all that was done was someone violated the rules of the game. In all seriousness, who actually cares if someone commits something like a bat flip or an illegal slide? On the same note, who cares about getting suspended from a sport because you broke a rule of that sport? However, the punches thrown by Odor are a felony, and he deserves to be punished by both the law and the MLB. I don't know where some of you get the nerve to say that someone deserves to get punched because of an infraction in a meaningless game, but it is sickening. And stop saying, don't mess with Texas, because this punk is not even from Texas. Personally, I think this Odor should be arrested for assault, for he was the only one who threw a punch, and just because Bautista squared up as well, it doesn't matter because he never threw a punch. So
I
think that's kind of self-explanatory. He wants the man arrested, which, no.
Yeah, I'd say that's a ridiculous hot tweet. Yeah, definitely, I don't think he should be arrested. No, everyday life, you can't just go around punching people at work. But this is different. These guys have different privileges. People just need to get over it.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, my ridiculously hot tweet is from May 12th. Skip Bayless, after the Thunder had finished off the Spurs, sent out a tweet that said, "Not sure the Thunder can win a single game against the Warriors." So
another classic Skip Bayless.
Classic. He did kind of, on first take, he said that the Warriors would win in five, so he did give the Thunder one, but still a ridiculous tweet, and the Thunder proved it wrong after the first game.
No, yeah, I mean, there was never any doubt in my mind that they were going to win probably at least two games. I mean, this is going to be a good series regardless.
Yeah, whatever team comes out of it is going to be in a dogfight. So.
Yeah, and definitely deserving to play Cleveland for the title.
Yep. So,
all right. Well,
all right. You just want to go
guess
through
we should do these
really quick?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Royals Red Sox on Wednesday night. Who you got?
All right, game two is a doubleheader. I'm going to take the Royals. David Price hasn't exactly been pitching that well.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Royals. They won tonight. They, with the exception of a bad inning by Yordano Ventura, they look pretty good. So I'm thinking they're starting to get back on track, hopefully. Mets and Nationals. I think we got Matt Harvey and Steven Strasburg facing off.
Yeah, I'm taking the Nats. Strasburg has been really good this year.
I'm actually going to take the Mets in this one. Just because.
All right.
Okay. All right. Then we've got Cavaliers and Raptors game two in Cleveland.
I'm taking Cavs. The only game I think the Raptors win is game three.
Yeah. If the Raptors win a game, it'll be game three or four. So give me Cleveland. And then we've got.
No, they're not winning.
Right. Yeah. All right, then Golden State and Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals, game two at the Oracle.
I think that the Thunder put the Warriors in a bad, bad situation. I think the Thunder go win and win.
I can't say that. I think you get some sort of ridiculous game from Clay or Steph, one of the two, if not both. And they're going to respond in a big way, Golden State. They can't afford to go down 2-0.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that Kevin Durant, which is actually my hot take, I think he's going to break his playoff career high of 41 in the second game, and the Warriors won't be able to stop him.
All right, that is a hot take. Do you have an upset?
I do. Braves over Pirates tomorrow night. New manager.
All right, cool. My upset is that Jake Arrieta is going to lose on Friday, and